Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The Lord's church had not been in existence many years, about a year or more, having begun in Jerusalem on the first Pentecost after the Lord's ascension to heaven. Christians had been scattered due to persecution. One territory, called Samaria, the name of both a province and a city, was inhabited by people of mixed blood. That is, they were descendants of an imported foreigners and Israelites left behind in the Assyrian deportation of the 10 tribes of northern Israel. Samaria was about 55 miles north of Jerusalem, situated the province between Judea and Galilee. The citizens had come from immigrants sent to Assyria to colonize the area that had been vacated by the 10 tribes. Now, there was a very strong and ill feeling between Jews and Gentiles. But in some ways, the feeling was even worse between Jews and the Samaritans. That stemmed from the desire of the Samaritans to assist the Jews in rebuilding Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple when the Jews returned from Babylonian captivity. Their request was denied because, well, they were not true blue Jew. 600 years of hostility had accumulated by the time that Christ comes upon the scene. Now, the Samaritans practiced a form of worship of Jehovah, having been taught by certain priests of the tenets of the Jewish faith many years before. They had accepted part of the Jewish scriptures, but certainly not all, and they had come to anticipate the advent of a Messiah. They looked for a Messiah, which they believed would include them, as well as others. Therefore, they shared with the Jews a lot of common convictions. But they had their own temple in Mount Gerizim, and they worshipped not in Jerusalem. And so there was a distinction between Jew and Samaritan. Now, Jesus had dealt with the Samaritans both favorably and unfavorably. We read in Luke chapter 9 how he was once refused permission to stay among them overnight. And that was when James and John were provoked to petition the Lord to call down fire upon them, which he did not do. Jesus made journeys around the territory of Samaria when he traveled between Galilee and Judea in order to avoid the conflict. He had once met with a Samaritan woman, we read in John chapter 4, and taught her many things at Jacob's well. And there he showed himself to be not only a prophet, but he claimed to be the long-looked-for Messiah. The people came from the city of Samaria to inquire of him, and they believed on him when they had seen him. And Jesus had also used the Samaritans as good examples in his teaching, such as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," Matthew 28 and verse 19. It was a man named Philip that took the gospel to Samaria, and when he did that, he was doing just exactly what the Lord's Great Commission charged to be done. And now, while the preparatory work for the coming of the kingdom had included preaching principally to the Jews, now the way of salvation had been revealed to mankind, beginning at Pentecost, and the gospel was to be preached to one and to all, because Christ had died for all. Jesus had said, and recorded in Acts 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Well, who was this man Philip? Well, he was one of the seven that had been chosen to care for the needy widows, as we read in Acts chapter 6. He was a man of good report. He was full of the Spirit, a man of wisdom. And later he is called an evangelist in Acts chapter 21. And he had four daughters who also prophesied or taught. Now, their preaching or their teaching was not preaching a public proclamation of the word, but they were teachers. And Philip came to Samaria proclaiming Christ and proclaiming his kingdom, Acts chapter 8. Now, having apostolic hands being laid upon him, as we read in Acts chapter 6, he was able to perform miracles, and he did perform miracles. Keep in mind, friend, the purpose of miracles was to confirm the word that was preached, Mark 16 and verse 20. In verse 7 tells of the deeds that he performed. And the results of these deeds that he did, there was great joy in that city. And among those that were converted by the efforts of Philip was a man named Simon. Now, we want to read about this man Simon a little bit later on and study about him. But his was a time of conversion of the man that had been a sorcerer. Now, Philip preached. The people heard. They believed his preaching. And Acts 8, verse 12 says they were baptized, both men and women. You see, friend, when people preach the gospel like Philip did, and people believe it, they are baptized. Now, nothing is said of children being baptized, however. In fact, we never read of infants being baptized or even sprinkled, and sprinkling is not baptism anyway. But like the teaching of Christ in Mark chapter 16, and like the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Philip taught those who hear and understand to be baptized. It is indeed regrettable that so many today who claim to preach the gospel will not preach what Philip preached, including Christ and about his church and about faith and about baptism and about Christian living. Now, the news of conversion in Samaria reached the city of Jerusalem. Peter and John went there, Acts 8 and verse 4. And they prayed that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit, laying hands upon them. Now, these Samaritans had already received the gift of the Holy Spirit as a consequence of their obedience to the command to be baptized, like Peter taught in Acts 2 and verse 38. Their gift of the Spirit referred to the salvation that had been promised. What was granted the Samaritans with the laying on of the hands of the apostles was not the baptism of the Holy Spirit as it applied to the apostles, but it was the impartation of miraculous powers which could be given and was given in this way. It required the presence of an apostle, and the apostles would lay hands upon those who would then be able to perform miracles. Now, they had done this for Philip in time past, but while Philip had miraculous powers himself, he obviously did not have the power to impart that ability to others, since he was not an apostle. And this was part of the apostolic work that was exclusively that belonging to the apostles. This is why there's no given of miraculous powers to the Samaritans until the coming of Peter and John. These abilities would then be used by those who received them for the same purposes as they were used by Philip, namely, to confirm the word as they went forward to preach it. But let us return for a moment to this man Simon. He had been a sorcerer. We read how he believed the preaching of Philip and how he was baptized, Acts 8 and verse 13. You know, according to the teaching of Jesus in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, this is exactly what had happened to Simon. He heard the word and he believed it, and he was baptized. Can we say that though he believed and was baptized, he was not saved, even though Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved"? No, after Simon heard the word and believed the word and obeyed the word, he was among the saved. He was a saved person. But now notice this man. He wanted the power that was possessed by the apostles, that is, to lay hands on others and grant them miraculous abilities. Now, this was improper in the request because this was not his work. This belonged only to the apostles. And Philip said that his heart was not right. Philip's description of his spiritual condition is stated in Acts 8 and verse 23. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And his instruction to get right again is found in this same chapter. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And Simon requested that other pray for him as well. Now this, friend, is a very significant teaching. Simon, who had obeyed the gospel and was among the saved, but finally saw himself in a desperate spiritual situation, he was not commanded to be baptized again. He had done that when he came to Christ. But now in Christ, one who has fallen again into sin is told to repent and pray. This is the divine plan for the restoration of a fallen Christian, to repent and to pray. Now the gospel and the resulting church had been planted in Samaria. The apostles stayed for a while, preaching and teaching. Philip was directed to another place, that is, the road to Jerusalem, to Gaza, and there he later met the Ethiopian. Well, what we learn from this account, friend, is the necessity of the preaching of the word in order to be saved. We never read of people coming to Christ. We never read of people being converted. We never read of people being saved apart from hearing the word of the gospel. We see the inseparableness of preaching Christ and his church. We must conclude that the gospel is for all, Jew and Gentile. It is whosoever will may come. And we learn the purposes of miracles and the use of miracles, the passing of the power of miracles and how limited it was, and to whom those miraculous powers belonged, and to whom belonged the power to impart those miraculous powers. We discover what people did to be converted to Christ. They heard the word. They believed the word. They obeyed the word. They repented of their sins, and they were baptized. Is that what people are being taught to do where you go to church? We discover what a fallen Christian must do to be recovered, and that is he must repent and pray. Ah, my dear friend, the account of the gospel being taken to Samaria is one of the more complete accounts of evangelism. We need to have an understanding of what took place and how it was accomplished. This is the way that people were saved and restored back in New Testament times under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to the apostles. And this is the same truth of which we read in God's inspired word as to how people are to be among the saved when they obey the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel? You need to ask yourself, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? If you do, will you obey him? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He commands repentance. He commands confession of your faith in him. He commands one to be baptized for the remission of sins through the inspired apostles. Have you done that? And if you have done that and you have fallen away, have you done what the apostle Peter told Simon to do? To repent and to pray to God? We are indeed to confess those sins, John tells us. And when we do, God is loyal and faithful to us in his love and kindness and grace to forgive us. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.